Welcome, everyone, to Chronicle the Podcast. I'm Shayna Seymour. July 4th, it is a happy time for many. It's a time spent with friends and family, celebrating the hot summer weather with a cookout or maybe even a trip to the beach to see some fireworks. But it's also a time to reflect on the significant role Massachusetts had in America's independence from England. For more than a decade leading up to the War for Independence, the British government marginalized and mistreated the colonies through taxes, tariffs, and troop occupation. This, of course, led to revolts and protests. But on April 19th, 1775, the world changed forever. On that day, British troops crossed Boston Harbor with the intention of seizing military supplies in conquered Massachusetts, and a battle pursued. It was the start of the American Revolution. So Concord is where it all began. Or was it Lexington? Ted Reinstein has more on this famous feud, a story told in his book, Wicked Pissed.
America was born in a feud. And some of those labor pains are still with us. Ongoing disputes that seem to be outlasting some of those famous stone walls that predated them.
Like the one that involves the town of Lexington and its neighbor just down the road, Concord, and how the two towns perceive a single day of American history differently. Still, almost 250 years later.
On April 19th, 1775, British troops opened fire on Lexington Green, then marched on to Concord, where they were met by a larger militia at the famed Old North Bridge. For decades, Lexington prided itself as being the birthplace of American liberty, until Concord began to take that title too.
And for Lexington, who assumed they were the birthplace of American liberty, to have it kind of wrenched from them, there is a certain amount of belief that one side is more right than the other.
Still.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Lexington historian Richard Collin has written extensively about the Concord-Lexington rift, one he acknowledges has had a surprising staying power.
Early on, the issue was, where's the first blood spilled? And then somehow in the early 19th century, at least from Concord, it began to be, where was the first forcible resistance? So the standard changed.
Ironically, though, both towns have mounted exhibitions on the events of April 19, 1775.
What we wanted to concentrate on was the day itself. We wanted to use real objects that were there on the day, and as often as we could, real objects that made a difference on the day.
For his part, Concord curator David Wood pins the whole feud thing on a third party.
I blame Lafayette.
At Lexington's historic and recently renovated Buckman Tavern, the exhibit is called Battle After the Battle.
The premise is the ongoing debate over which town began the revolution.
They've certainly been fair in laying out both sides, even encouraging visitors to vote on what clearly continues, incredibly, to be a hot-button issue here.
Almost 250 years later.
Absolutely.
The Lexington exhibition has since moved to Minuteman National Park, and the exhibition is now open seasonally, but it is not the only thing Minuteman National Park has to offer.
For 100 years, the Arrowhead, with its mountain, pine tree, and bison, has been the iconic symbol of the national parks.
We wear the uniform proudly, but at the same time, we don't hold our traditions so deep that we can't evolve.
Evolution means a new mission. With 80% of Americans living in cities, it was time to bring parks to the people.
I think the urban agenda for the National Park Service allows us to really speak to the issue of relevance, making sure that we are talking about all stories relevant to all people.
Stories told not only on the streets of Boston, but in the mills of Lowell, at the Adams Homestead in Quincy, and on the wharves of Salem. But Massachusetts also has its share of open space. Imagine the Cape without the National Seashore. And what would Lexington and Concord be without Minuteman National Historical Park? Each year, 1 million visitors come to see where the shot heard round the world was fired. The history and landscape drew Nancy Nelson, superintendent for more than 20 years.
It never gets old. The visitors really keep everything fresh here.
It's completely different from the image that you got as a child learning it in history class.
They come from all over the country and from all over the world. Once there was an encounter here with a national park ranger who had been in Vietnam, and he came across a North Vietnamese family. The father had fought in the Vietnam War, and they talked and eventually learned that they had been facing each other. Those stories always renew our commitment to this place and what it means.
The North Bridge gets most of the glory. But at the Hartwell Tavern, the events of April 19, 1775 also come to life. Ranger Jim Hollister.
We are not in Concord anymore. We are in the town of Lincoln. In 1775, this is where it's happening. It's called the Bay Road. The Hartwell family, they settled here in the 1690s. Ephraim Hartwell and his wife Elizabeth, they had this house built in 1733. So they raised a family here, they ran a farm, and in the 1750s, Ephraim Hartwell, actually because of so much traffic along the road, opened a tavern.
Paul Revere never passed here on his famous ride. Instead,
there was one rider, he wasn't planning on being an alarm rider that night. His name is Dr. Samuel Prescott. We also believe he stopped here at this tavern. So now Lincoln is up, and then Prescott rides into Concord, and he delivers the alarm in Concord.
The Park Service is just the fourth owner in nearly 300 years. The tavern looks much as it did in 1775. Notice the tobacco stains on the barroom's beams.
We have rangers that are here throughout the summer and into the fall, and they're dressed in period clothing. It is off the beaten path, but it's one of those treasures.
Another treasure and recent park addition is the home of Colonel James Barrett.
Colonel James Barrett commanded the 3rd Middlesex Regiment. He was also tasked with safeguarding all the military supplies that were here in the town of Concord.
Barrett buried arms in the fields of his farm. The British never found them, but the occasional musket ball has been known to surface.
The Barretts actually owned it until 1905. They sold it to the McGrath family, and the McGrath family owned it right up until they sold it to Save Our Heritage around 2003, 2004. They restored the house, then they sold it to the National Park Service.
Today, Barrett's farm remains agrarian, owned by the town of Concord and leased to farmers Melissa Maxwell and Lise Holdor.
It's a beautiful historic neighborhood. Part of the appeal too is that community members like care so much about the farm being continuously operating.
The farm produces a bounty of vegetables, flowers, and fruit for a CSA and a farm stand.
In this parcel that we're standing on right now, about 11 tillable acres, and then we just got a lease on the land that's across the street from us over there, and that is almost 5 acres.
House and farm, a mostly 1775 landscape.
Minuteman Park truly honors the past. It's open all summer long with tours and programs to choose from. And the best part, entrance is free. Next, Anthony Everett takes us to what may have been the first VA hospital with some guests who may have overstayed their welcome.
The past is alive and well-preserved in Concord, Massachusetts. And in historic Monument Square, the Colonial Inn takes pride of place.
This is such a unique spot. Situated at the top of the square like we are, we want to try to be a crown jewel and have the colors and the beauty and the sense of arrival that you're someplace special when you enter Concord.
This year, the Colonial Inn is feeling especially festive. After all, it is 300 years old.
It's amazing and it's overwhelming and it's humbling just to be a part of all that and to think about everything that's happened here in the last 300 years.
General Manager Sean Smith tells us the inn was used as an infirmary during that skirmish up the road at the North Bridge in 1775.
The first, what I like to call, VA hospital.
For a while, Henry David Thoreau's aunts ran it as a boarding house.
So he's actually lived here. And as a matter of fact, over my shoulder was his writing office.
But the inn's most celebrated guests have, according to some, never checked out.
This is our haunted room 24. So it is, requested and then at times specifically not requested.
Shannon Sinnott says ghost hunters from around the world seek out room 24, which was used as an operating room during the Revolution. Apparently, some soldiers and medical staff have never stopped making the rounds.
they're all really content. You know, it's been about 300 years that I think they would have left by now if they weren't happy here. But, you know, they're all still here, still moving around.
The Colonial Inn claims 300 years of operation, but that claim may be a bit exaggerated because they have not been running continuously like Sudbury's Wayside Tavern has been since 1716. We'll leave that one for them to figure out. But that is not the final feud of this podcast. Our final feud is over a revolutionary battle fought on a hill. And you may be surprised to learn that hill's name is not actually Bunker.
If you grew up in Massachusetts, or at least had a history teacher somewhere who valued historical accuracy, you know that this is America's most misnamed monument. The famous Battle of June 17, 1775, was fought on neighboring Breed's Hill, not Bunker Hill. Oops. Yet generations of bunkers have nonetheless seen their name mistakenly memorialized on everything from Navy ships to drag strips.
And the Breeds, we have nothing named after us except the hill, and I think there's an insurance business too in Charlestown, and that's all we got.
Which means the Breeds have been unfairly stiffed for 250 years. Jed Breed is a 13th generation descendant of Allen Breed, on whose hill and land the actual battle here was fought.
So when you hear somebody in idle conversation talk about Bunker Hill, do you feel compelled to correct them?
I do. I'm constantly saying, you know, it actually did happen on Breed's Hill. And they ask some more questions, and I tell them, and they learn something new every day.
The site does point out the truth, if only in fine print.
And it says Breed's right there. Do you feel like when you see it, you want to like highlight that or something?
I do, yes.
So the Bunkers have the monument, not to mention towns named after them across America, but the Breeds may still be king of the hill, if only for their big-hearted sense of history and patriotism.
Ultimately, it doesn't matter the name of the battle. It was the beginning of the American Revolution, and we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for what happened on that day.
True enough, and Bunker Hill chili sauce wouldn't be here either.
That is Chronicle the Podcast. We hope you all enjoyed this special Independence Day episode. Thank you so much for joining us. Please have a safe and enjoyable 4th. And remember, make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Chronicle5 and subscribe so you never miss a podcast. And when you're out celebrating Independence Day, don't forget where this beautiful country all began.